Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Immediately, I knew in my heart that this was death. I knew that, though I don't know how I knew, and I could see the window across from this being, and the light was not shining through it, through this person. The light was not shining through. So he was quite solid and real.
You're listening to The Ghost Files, the podcast where everyday people share their extraordinary experiences of the spirit world. I'm your host, Karina Machado. I'm also the host of the Spirit Sisters podcast and the author of three books about real-life spooky and spiritual experiences. Earlier this year, Spirit Sisters, the book that launched me on this paranormal path, was re-released in a 10th anniversary edition. Find it online and in bookstores. Then get in touch to let me know what you think. Speaking of how much I love hearing your feedback, thank you so much to everyone who's reviewed the show. It really puts a big smile on my face to read about how much you're enjoying The Ghost Files. Now to the episode. My guest today is Albina, who's joining us from her home in New Zealand to share a story about a pair of chilling encounters when she was a child growing up in Bulgaria that completely overturned her world and her understanding of life, death, and what lies beyond. Those experiences continue to powerfully impact her life today. Here's her fascinating story.
Welcome to the show, Albina.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's really great to have you. Now, you're joining us today from your home in Auckland, New Zealand, but you were born in Bulgaria.
Yes.
Please tell us a little about who you are and how you came to be living in New Zealand.
Well, I was born in 81 and I lived through the old communist curtain in Eastern Europe. I lived in Bulgaria with my parents, but because they were quite busy working, my grandmother was the person who kind of was my mentor, and she brought me up. We were very close, extremely close. And most of my time, most of my summers and free time, I spent with her and in her house.
Okay. Now, Albina, you wrote to tell me that you'd recently discovered the podcast and that as soon as you did, you knew you had to get in touch with me to share this particular story.
Yes.
And as soon as I heard it, I knew I had to then share it with the Ghost Files audience. So I'm really thrilled that you could be with us today.
Awesome.
So, as you were saying, your story is set in Bulgaria and it involves your lovely grandma, Maria, whom you were very close to. And you shared such a tight bond, didn't you? It's quite a rare bond from what I read in your message.
Yes, very rare. And gosh, I don't even know how to explain it. We were really very close. She did everything for me. I did everything for her. I still, to this day, although she's been gone now for, I think, around 26 years, I feel extremely close to her to this day, having memorized her pure existence, her smell, her skin, her hands. It's just so fresh still in my memory, although it's been so many years.
That's lovely. And I loved how you shared with me in your email that, you know, you'd listen to the radio together, then you'd snuggle to sleep, and often you'd sleep together as well. You were so close. And it was during a typical night like this when you were sharing a room that something astonishing happened. Please tell us about that.
Yes, so we used to just have girl fun. She would snuggle with me in bed, and we would put the night radio on. It was usually kind of a discussion radio, fun topics and a little bit of music, and we would chat and we would just fall asleep listening to that radio. And one that particular night, I slept in her room with her in her bed, right next to her bed, right next to the side where she was sleeping, she had this sewing machine, as I assume all grandmothers do. And I woke up, but I remember waking up really feeling very odd, very unusual. And in my child mind, I couldn't really explain it. That it wasn't pure darkness, because from the window there was kind of moonlight. And I kind of opened my eyes, sat up, and just looked into the dark. And straight from the dark, a figure appeared, walking towards her side of the bed. And I kind of just froze. It took me a few seconds to realize what was happening and to kind of focus my vision on what I was seeing. And I recognized the figure immediately. It was my great-grandfather, who I don't actually have many memories of him, because he passed away when I was maybe 5 or 6. I have tiny bit of memories, but I did recognize him. I recognized his traditional wear and how he was dressed, and he just stood there, but he wasn't scary. He was just, he had this warmth, you know, about him, and he kind of smiled and looked at her, and he said to me, "Oh, I'm coming to take my child home," and that moment just stayed with me. It stressed me immensely. It really just broke my heart, because I kind of realized what that would probably mean in my childlike way. And it was over in a second, because I got so I got so scared, I got so nervous and afraid for my grandmother, that I just kind of made a lot of noise. I started crying, at which point she woke up, and I told her the whole story. She thought that
What did she say about what you'd seen?
Well, she thought that it was, she brushed it off in a way, and she kind of laughed about it. And she said, "Oh, you know, our ancestors sometimes come and see us. That shouldn't scare you." She was very open to that kind of thing. And she reassured me. I'm not sure what she was thinking, but I think that all she was trying to do is really calm me down in that moment. And prevent me from being terrified and from being scared.
And so how old were you when this happened?
I was 12.
You were 12.
Yes.
And so just to unpack a little bit more about your great-grandfather, so this
yes.
was your grandmother's father.
Correct.
And yes, and how he looked. Did he look to you like a transparent figure, or like a flesh and blood person walking into the room? How did he present himself to you?
He looked completely normal, like a human. He looked like a human. He even his expression was clear of his face, and his clothing was clear. He didn't look see-through, or he was not floating. He looked real. I mean, his hands, his movement, and the way he kind of looked down, it was very real. That's why I got so stunned, because I don't know if your brain realizes immediately what's happening, because you know this person can't be there. And he was just very real, very, even his personality came through with this, you know, with him appearing that way.
So what was that personality? Because as you said, you had very little memory of him, because he'd passed away when you were quite
yeah.
little. So what did you recognize of him?
I recognized the his aura, he was a farmer, and his kind of very earthly kind of, he was down to earth and very, very bright person. He was a very smiley person, and that's perhaps what I remember of him the most. And I felt that it's him. I just knew it was him. I just feeling of family, of your own. I don't really know how to explain it, but it's just...
No, that's good.
Yeah. Mm. The personality came through.
His personality came through. And it's interesting because, as you say, his personality was... kind man, smiling. So what it seems to me, listening to you, that what frightened you so much wasn't this appearance of your supposedly dead grandfather walking into the room. It was the message that he carried.
Yes, yes. I kind of felt in that moment that he was just about to grab her hand and take her with him. And I think that's what terrified me. That really did. It stayed with me for a long time, that that vision.
Yes, and so yeah, you in your email you actually described it as feeling haunted for days and then weeks by this event.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about how it affected you in these weeks. How did you I mean, I know you were only 12 years old, but how did you process it?
Yes, so it was very open conversation with it's just people speak about these type of things experiences of such. So I was aware of the fact that there could be spirits, and what haunted me was that he's come to take her away from me, and I would constantly check whether she's alive, would constantly check if she's breathing, constantly check if she's okay. And I would literally just beg her not to die because I thought that that's what was going to happen.
Okay. And so this is how you're feeling, and for a few days and a few weeks indeed. And then at some point, please tell us how much later you took a trip with your grandma to a neighbouring village.
Yes. So it must have been, I don't know exactly the time, but I would say maybe 4 or 5 weeks later, she decided to go to our village where our farmhouse is. And we would do this often because we would bring produce back with us and we would help out a little bit. And she, I was on school holidays and she took me with her. She decided that we would go together. And we did. Again, with that thing in my head, is something going to happen? I was always very wary of her being around me and making sure that she's nearby so that I can monitor her, even in that small young age of mine. Mm. But it really panicked me that. Mm. Yeah,
that's really coming across, that sense of panic. So I feel like you would have jumped at the chance to go with her on this trip, so that
yeah.
And then something happened while you were on the trip. What was it?
So this changed my life. The farmhouse that we have, we still have actually. It's probably about 400 years old, and it's been in the family. And it's always been a very shared environment and family environment. And we slept in one room that night. It was a hot summer night. It was really hot, and the summers in Europe are extremely scorching. And at night, it doesn't cool down. It just stays really hot, to the point where sometimes we had to wet our bed sheets to, you know, there weren't any air cons and things like that, so we had to stay cool. And this is the type of weather that we had at the time. And we went to bed, slept in one of the old rooms of the house, where two single beds are placed at a corner, so at a 90 degree corner, where the one bed, so that the heads meet together
Okay, yeah.
Kind of at a 90 degree. I'm not sure if I can.
Yes.
If I'm saying this correctly. And so if I turn, so to the left is to my left is the wall as I'm lying on the bed, and to my right is the rest of the room and my grandmother's head, which I can clearly see. And, you know, she's sleeping, she's sleeping basically 90 degrees to me. And we fell asleep. There's a big window in the room, moonlight, quite bright room. Windows opened because of the heat. So at some point in the night, I wake up frozen, literally just shivering to the bone. But not only shivering, I was literally frozen on the bed. I'm lying on my back, and I cannot move. I am pinned down to the bed. And I couldn't understand what is happening to me. And I'm just trying to lift my arms and I can't. And in that moment, I look to my right, at which point I see her head, and I see this person standing over her. I think it was a he, although I couldn't exactly, I think it was a he, that was my feel.
Mm-hmm.
But he was tall to the ceiling. He wasn't a normal height person. He was tall to the ceiling with a black cloak, wearing the hoodie. I could see his face. I could see the nose. He was just slightly bent over her with his hands cupped, kind of in a cupped position over her head. And he just stood there without a movement, without anything. He just stood there over her. And I could see the material of his cloak. I could see him so clearly, not as a ghost, not as a see-through vision. He was real. It was a real being. To me, it looked like a real being, but very, very large, standing over her like that, just leaning gently over her with his hands cupped above her head.
And did he say anything to her? And what was your sense of who this being was?
Immediately, I knew in my heart that this was death. I knew. Mm-hmm. I knew that, though I don't know how I knew, and I could see the window across from this being, and the light was not shining through it, through this person. The light was not shining through. So he was quite solid and real, quite mm-hmm. real. And I thought, the first thing that I thought is, oh my goodness, he's come. He's come to take her. And he didn't move. He didn't say anything at all. He was just standing extremely stationary, not looking at me, not absolutely not acknowledging me at all. And I kept thinking, if I just count to five and I just jump and put that light on and just scream, you know, it will be okay. And I couldn't. I just couldn't. I was completely pinned to that bed, frozen, where it was freezing. It was cold, provided that it's probably 35 degrees outside. And
that's amazing.
It was an outrageous experience.
And I would like to ask you, Albina, so both of these paranormal events that you've experienced within a relatively short period of time have this symptom of paralysis. And I'm sure you've heard of the condition sleep paralysis and what it, you know, the visions that people may have during an instance of sleep paralysis. Have you considered that was something that you might have experienced in that moment?
I don't know. I actually haven't thought about whether this was sleep paralysis. I definitely wasn't sleeping. I don't think so. I think that my feel is that there was a presence of an entity that during that experience, perhaps, in this is probably going to sound strange, but perhaps time stops for me and I'm stuck in this moment where I'm unable to in any way have an effect on what's happening.
Mm.
And so that this being can do what it has to do, or I don't really know how to say it another way.
Yes. No, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I just thought I'd bring it up because paralysis is such a feature of a lot of the interviews that I do. And certainly, you know, I know about sleep paralysis and I've interviewed a sleep expert, and I don't believe that we can attribute every single case of an encounter that involves paralysis. I don't believe that we can attribute every single one to a cut and dried case of sleep paralysis. But I do like to just explore it with my guests if the opportunity presents itself. And certainly, as you're about to share the way events turned out, it would seem to prove that this was not a simple case of some sort of hallucination to do with sleep paralysis. So please tell us what happened next.
Well, I stood there for a very long time. I don't know how long it was. For me, it felt really, really long in that moment, until the moment when I was actually able to jump out of bed and just switch that light on. That was I was concentrating on being able to do that, at which point I just started screaming and just, I was so frightened. I switched the light on. She got up. It took me a while to be able to explain to her what I'd seen and what's happened. And again, in her gentle fashion, she kind of calmed me down, said, "Oh, perhaps you were dreaming." But I think she knew, because I think she knew. But I think her focus in that moment was just to calm me, because I was extremely, extremely upset and I was shocked. I was beyond shocked. I didn't know how to explain what I just witnessed.
Mm. Oh, God.
And so,
yeah. And then, yeah. Please go on and tell us what happened next.
And so we spoke for the rest of the night, and we decided to leave the next day. I was way too scared to even go back in the room. And I just thought, I just kept thinking of what I saw, and I just kept trying to rationalize it. And we went back home, and things went back to normal for a while. And a few weeks later, she unfortunately died. She died. She died quietly and kind of willingly, in a very ready way. And I think she knew that she was dying.
What do you mean a ready?
I think she knew before.
What happened? How did you experience your grandmother's death? What happened?
She had at that time I wasn't with her. She had called my dad. Well, she had called our house to speak to me. I wasn't there. I was at school. Well, I hadn't been back from school yet, and she had said, "I really, really want to see you straight away." And I got them to see me straight away. But unfortunately, I'd gotten late with coming home from school. I didn't get the message till later. And when I heard that, I kind of caught the bus and I went straight there. And she had already died. But what had happened is that she had prepared breakfast. She had cleaned the house. It was all there. The house was in perfect condition, all decorated. the food was laid out on the table. She had taken a shower. She had gotten dressed in her beautiful dress. She had done her hair, her makeup. She even had perfume on. And she had just laid there and died.
So it looked as if she had prepared. She knew. She woke up knowing what was going to unfold that day. And she got all her affairs in order and, you know, made herself look lovely as if she was going out. And then she just lay down in her bed. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
How old was Maria?
She was very young. She was 54.
Oh, my goodness. And was she unwell?
Besides the, I guess, little things that come with age, she wasn't unwell. She was a very vibrant, happy person, always dancing, always singing, the typical European grandmother. A very, very vibrant person, still working from time to time, very energetic. Never an indication that she would just die.
Did you get any medical explanation afterwards?
We did. The doctor said that she had, there was an explanation of a brain hemorrhage. And there was blood. The blood wasn't moving correctly through her brain. And that is basically what we knew in those days in the 90s. That is the explanation we got.
Yes. And so, Albina, you were only 12. You just lost the most important person in your life. And I wonder, how did you reflect on your grandmother's passing in light of the two encounters that preceded it, two encounters that really seem like two very powerful premonitions? Did you connect the events?
Definitely. I already knew. I kind of knew from the first event, and I was expecting it. I was waiting for it, and when it happened, I was sure that those were just the signs that I happened to be able to see for some reason. And it was a very strange time and very strange traditions that we have there that followed after her death in Europe. It depends, you know, in which country you're referring to, but in Bulgaria, the person, once they die, their body in the coffin stays overnight in their home with an open coffin. And there are certain superstitions and rituals that are done. Mirrors are covered with black cloth and things like that, which we had to do. And it was just surreal. What was happening was surreal. And for my 12-year-old brain experiencing this, it was really surreal. It was very scary and very, it just changed me that moment. It really did.
Had you ever had a spiritual or supernatural experience prior to these premonitions?
No, not that I can remember, no.
Okay, and you said that life changed for you significantly after this. This event very much changed you. How did you change? How did life change for you?
I feel that I got to understand or see something that is so widely rejected in today's world. I feel that I am 100% sure of what I saw, although I cannot 100% rationalize it. I am now certain that there is life or there is existence after death. I'm certain of the beings around us. I'm certain that we can feel things, and our sixth sense definitely works and pushes us into directions in life that we may not consciously understand or consciously recognize. It gives me, in a sense, of peace that this isn't the end. It also gives me a sense of fear sometimes, because I realize that there are things around us that we don't always see. It changed me as a person. It changed the way I perceive things and how I look at life. And it's been an interesting experience in my life that has stayed with me all these years and has remained a very big factor in how I view life today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing all those insights. And certainly a lot of what you've just spoken about reflects the reasons why I have this podcast and my other show, Spirit Sisters, as well, why I've written my books, because it is extremely important to acknowledge these events, I think, and listening to my guests and my interviewees all through the years, they reflect that back as well, that it's a healing experience to acknowledge the stories and then to share them. So thank you so much for sharing that. But I want to also ask you, Albina, I know that your grandmother continued to visit you in your dreams afterward. I was wondering if you'd share a little bit about that.
Yes. So while I was younger, I think I was a little bit more open to seeing her, I guess. And following her death, she came to my dreams in a very real way, with my conscious understanding that she is gone. I didn't dream of her as if she was around. I knew she was dead, and she knew she was dead in my dreams, because sometimes we dream of people and things that happen, but we don't put logic to it, or they're just passing dreams. These were conscious conversations that I had with her within a dream, I would think.
Okay. And so could you share with us one or two of these conversations and any particularly outstanding messages that she passed on to you?
Yes, she always came standing, which was really interesting, because she was always outside the door of my room, and she would just appear there and stand by the door. And and the first time I dreamt of her, I said to her, "But what are you doing here? You're dead. You're gone." And she said, "Yes, I'm gone, but I'm always here. I'm not far away. I'm not that far away," she said. And I remember having a conversation with her about, come inside, come sit on my bed. And she said she never did. And she always said, I can't cross this door, this threshold. I can't cross. I will just speak to you from here. And she always said that to me, because I kept on insisting that she'd come inside the room. But she couldn't, or she wouldn't. I'm not exactly sure. On my first conversation with her, I said to her, "Are you happy? Tell me about heaven and hell." And I remember this because this is what we are taught, religiously, heaven and hell. And she said to me that it isn't how you think. There isn't heaven and hell. It isn't what you think. It's not exactly like that. And I'm not sure of the rest of our conversation. I have that really, really stuck with me, that memory from that particular conversation with her.
So you asked about heaven and hell, and she told you yes. Not what you think, but she didn't elaborate, or you can't remember?
I can't remember whether she did. I remember her saying, "It isn't what you think. I'm closer than I'm always close, and I'm always around. But there are no heaven and hell. It isn't what you think."
Okay. Wow, it's such a great story, Albina. As we near the end of our conversation, I'd just like to touch on one point that you brought up earlier concerning the Eastern European culture and how people are so much more willing to embrace the mysterious and speak openly about it. Looking back, what do you think you had to gain from being immersed in that kind of world from birth?
Well, I classify the world as the new world and the old world. And I've had the great opportunity throughout my life to witness both and learn a lot of different things from the old world. And I did say particularly Eastern Europe because it has an immense history, but so does a lot of the European countries. I grew up in an environment where there's not only religion, but there's a belief system, there are traditions that date back before Christ, before religion, before Christianity as we know it today. There are so many different beliefs and people, this is a normal thing. It's a normal thing for people to discuss a life after death, to light candles for the dead, to appreciate the ancestry, to acknowledge who's been and who's about to come. And it is a very accepted concept and conversation and a tradition almost, where we acknowledge and celebrate life and death. And I know that it's not only in Eastern Europe. I understand that it's many, many countries. It's been an honor. It's been amazing seeing that, and not only in Bulgaria, but in many other countries all over the world.
Yes, I relate to what you're saying because I was born in Uruguay in South America, and, you know, we do have a tradition that's similar there where we embrace the mystical elements, or certainly we used to, more so than today perhaps. But I feel that you touched on so many interesting things, and it's like tapping into this idea of tapping into the sacred, not needing a religion to tell us to do it. There's this innate understanding that it's important to honor the ancestors, honor the dead, tap into the sacred, and it enhances life to do so.
Absolutely, absolutely. We need to appreciate where we come from. We need to appreciate how we got here and everybody before us who made it possible, and acknowledge and celebrate their life and remember them. And that is a big part of our culture, to honor the people who have been, the people whose hands have built what we have today.
That's a beautiful way to put it. So to sum up our conversation today, Albina, what can an encounter with the dead teach us about living?
That is the fundamental question of my life. And it teaches us a lot. It teaches us, it reminds us that we are here for a little bit. This is a gift here we have in the physical world. We possibly have a purpose, although we don't necessarily know what it is. We are given an opportunity to be a physical being, because from my experience, I believe that beyond this life, the being, it's an energy, it's an energy of beings. There's the spiritual life afterwards. We are given an opportunity to have a life, to have a physical existence. We put too much importance on things that are not important, and less importance on what we have here, the creation of this physical world that we are given. And I always think, when last did you look at the sky and appreciate it? When last did you smell the flowers and appreciate them? Because it's going to stop. We don't know how long our lives are. And I'm going to use an analogy that my grandmother taught me once. Mm. She said to me, life is like a field full of candles. Some candles are short, some candles are really, really long. We never know how fast our candle is going to burn. We don't know how long a candle is. Once a candle is lit, it's just a matter of time before it's down to the ground. Hopefully, our candles are long, but no matter how much time we are given here, it's important to appreciate where we are. It's important to appreciate everybody and everything that has come before us, and to know that one day our eyes will close and it will be over. And we will hope that what we've left behind we would be remembered for what we've left behind. And we would be in peace, at peace, wherever we go beyond.
Wow, what a wonderful response. I really am grateful to you today for coming on the show and sharing with us the story of your grandmother Maria. And I just love the idea that the lessons that she taught you in Bulgaria when you were a little girl are now rippling out to thousands of other people all over Australia and perhaps all over the world. So thank you very much for joining us on the show, Albina. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening to The Ghost Files. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star rating, review the show, and tell a friend.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.